Amen. Many years ago, Jeannie got let go from a job that she was doing a really good job with, but some things happened. It really had nothing to do with her, but in the end, she got blamed. So she was let go. Things like that happened, but there was something about that particular time that stuck with me. I remember being angry as lava is hot. I was so mad, not just because she had been let go, but because it was so unjust. I was young and even less patient than I am now. I even went so far as to go down and walk into the office where she worked, and I let her boss know exactly what I thought. Something I had never done before, and certainly will never do again. It's not my business, but there was something about that day. Now, normally, I just don't hold a grudge. It's just not in me. Partly because I think in some ways I'm inherently emotionally lazy, and carrying a grudge is just way too much work. So most of the time, I just don't carry a grudge. But funnily enough, still in my heart today, I carry a grudge for that old boss. And I'm not the only one who carries the grudge. As a matter of fact, the other day, we were having a conversation with our children, and this person's name came up. It wasn't actually their name. It was just the last name. And both of my kids made some disparaging comment. Well, at least it's not that person. Forgiveness can come hard. Forbearance is a difficult discipline, especially when you feel as if you have been wronged deeply. In the gospel lesson for today, it's the continuation of that Matthew 18 series about forgiveness. And Peter was wondering, well, if a brother or sister sins against you, how often should you forgive? 7 times? Jesus says, not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times. Well, many of us have trouble even forgiving once. Truly forgiving. You see, the word when Peter asked the question, it says, how often should I forgive? The other interpretation or other translation of that word is, how many times should I forbear? I'm not sure if Peter is looking for an out or just clear guidelines so he can say, yep, I've done it the proper amount of times and now I can hang on to it. Remember just the chapter before, Jesus had reminded them that they have the keys, that they can forgive the sins of any or hold them tight of any. Well, how many times do we do that, Peter asked. So Jesus, naturally, tells a story. And you've heard the story. I won't retell the whole thing, but it is such a powerful story, and that this slave has an impossible debt. 10,000 talents is truly an unimaginable amount of money. More than several lifetimes of income this servant owes. And he falls on his knees before the master and he says, have patience, forbear with me, and I will pay you everything. and out of compassion, splegma, pity, the master forgives his debt. Almost like a Disney movie, as soon as the slave walks out of the house, he encounters a fellow slave who owes him just 100 denarii, a fraction of the debt that was just forgiven to him. Pay what you owe. Well, you know how the story ends. The first slave gets his comeuppance. The master hears what happens, that he didn't, if you remember that, not from too many years ago, pay it forward. The slave did not pay it forward, and so he got paid back. It all seems so clean and so right. It's sort of like a Hollywood movie that just gets wrapped up perfectly in a neat little ball. But it's not. You see, forgiveness is more complex than all of that. Most of us, myself included occasionally, like to hold on to our grudges and keep them close by. As a matter of fact, you could even say that in many ways our entire economy is really based on keeping track of who owes who what. Whether you buy stock or bonds or you take a loan on your house, our whole life is wrapped up financially in who we owe. In some of our families, our very family systems are often based on the same thing. The forbearance of that comes hard for us. In some ways, holding a grudge is a kind of emotional currency that gives us power. As we come to know Jesus better through Matthew, we find out that it is not our native currency. Holding another accountable for their debt, keeping track of what they owe us, keeping a list of every little sin that's done against us. We all know people who are like that. We may even be like that. It's not the native currency of Jesus. So that's why this story seems so strange. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like? That if you don't measure up, you'll be handed over, as it says at the end of the text, to be tortured until you pay your entire debt? The story is calling us not to keep track of all of that, but to understand the depth and the power of forbearance, of forgiveness. You see, every one of us has some debt or some grudge or some guilt that we carry around like luggage. And it weighs us down. We don't want to forgive because it's just too much work. I think one of the most fun things I have ever heard was inertia is the enemy of forgiveness. It's just too much work. Sometimes. Just like sometimes it's just too much work to hang on to it. We're so satisfied with where we are that we cannot hear the word that drives us to transformation and change. It's not a matter of whether we identify with one slave or the other slave, but do we identify with Jesus? Surrounding this story in the Gospel of Matthew. Is Jesus healing the broken? Eating with tax collectors and sinners? Engaging in a transformation of the law that binds us and helping us to see with clearer eyes the gospel that frees us? The problem is not that God will judge us if we don't forgive one another, but that we have already judged ourselves, enslaved ourselves, when we can no longer let go of the debt or the harm of another. And so the Gospel of Matthew calls us into a life of forgiveness, not grudge holding. One of my fellow pastors reminded me of a saying attributed to the Buddha, that holding a grudge is like taking poison, hoping that the other person will die. But in holding these things in and holding them tight, we torture ourselves. And so we are called to forgiveness, to loose, to let go. Not just once, not just twice, but over and over and over again. To share the forgiveness that we first receive from Jesus Christ, the risen one from the dead, and that we share that with a world who so needs that word of grace. And so we put aside our grudge and our shame, and we live in the currency of Christ, which is forgiveness. Trust me, I know how hard that is. I will struggle for many months to come yet to find forgiveness for this thing that happened literally 30 years ago. Something that didn't even happen to me. It happened to Jean. But I hope to find forbearance. Not once. Not seven times. But over and over again. Until I can forgive as I have been forgiven. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please rise as you're able for the hymn of the day.